Well, welcome to Christ Covenant. Again, so glad that you're here. I'll appear here in just a second. There I am. And so glad that you're here with us. And if I could just be honest with you, I try to do that every single week. But I just want you to notice kind of from the front that I'm struggling today. I just want to make you aware of that. And here's kind of what's happening just to bring you into like my world. How I was brought up, like my beliefs when I was little, are now colliding with my new beliefs here. And specifically, it's going to happen about 7:20 p.m. tonight. And I'm just letting you know, okay, at 7:20-ish, I've got my Dallas Cowboys, because I'm from Dallas. They're playing in the Houston Texans here in Houston at NRG Stadium. And I'm just trying to let you know, because I really am struggling today. Would anybody just commit to pray for your pastor? Can you just let me know? I need a prayer partner. Awesome. Thank you so much. Be thinking about me tonight. Now, some of you got real nervous when I said I'm struggling today, but it's going to be okay. And we're new to Houston. If we haven't met yet, I've been here about 10 and a half months. And honestly, I was born and raised in Dallas, so I'm a Cowboys fan, but I am learning to love the Texans. And usually it's not a problem, but tonight it is. And so we'll just see like what's going to happen. I honestly have no clue. It's been a lot of ties happening. And so maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But anyways, that's going to take place tonight. And so I've got a 10-month-old. And so you can do the math. We had her baby Nora. We had her right away. Because been here 10 and a half months, and she's 10 months old, and she just actually started to walk yesterday, so way early. What is it about girls being so far more advanced than guys? Like, I didn't walk till I was like 2 years old, and you know, she's walking at 10 months, kind of crazy. And then I have a 5-year-old son, and we're teaching him as well. Like, hey, we love the Cowboys, but we got to learn to love the Texans too. So I'm trying to be a good leader, okay? I'm trying to do things right, but pray for me. And parenting, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Parenting's pretty fun. There's a lot of fun things that happen when you're a parent, but parents also know that parenting is challenging as well. And I remember several years ago for our son, of course, our baby girl wasn't around then, but our son, he was really struggling when it came to his bedtime. And parents, you understand that that's a battle with you and your children. I got to declare today that we won this battle, okay? I'm just letting you know we won. And so we really were working hard to get, this is years ago, to get our son out of our room and into his room. Why? Because we want to do fun married stuff in our room. Can I get a witness today? Amen. Well, not a witness. That would be awkward. Can I get an amen? Y'all hanging with me today. This is good. But we want to get him out of the room so he's not scarred for life. And we wanted to be able to make sure everything was good to go. And so we had this battle going on. It was a battle. Like, seriously, every single night at 8 p.m., there was a war that happened inside of our house. And it was funny to me, because it's not like bedtime is once a year. It's not like it's every month or every quarter. Like, every night we go to bed, but it was a shock to our boy. And it was a battle. Now, let me say this from the front. I love my son. He's awesome. I'm biased, but I got the mic. And so he's an incredible young man. But just like everybody, including his dad, he's got some things he's got to work through. And this was one of them. And so we had a routine. And if you're a parent, you know this. But we had a routine that really helped us get him ready for bed. And so we would make sure that he brushed his teeth, because we want him to have teeth when he's older. That would be a good deal. So we brushed his teeth, and then we made sure that we got him into his like Batman pajamas or whatever superhero pajamas he's putting on that night. We got Star Wars. He's got Chewbacca pajamas. Come on, somebody. So whatever it is, we'd get him in those pajamas. And then what we would do is we would lay him in his little bed from IKEA that's like 5 inches off the ground, and we would read him books, and then we would pray for him, and then we would begin to creep backwards very slowly and very carefully, putting him to bed. Well, how many of you know that as soon as we would leave after that whole procedure, he would come up with these strategies, I call them, on how to get us back into his room? Now, kids, even though they're young, how many of y'all know they are very smart and very creative? And so he quickly figured out how he could get us back in the room. If it was, hey, my arm hurts, I'd be like, rub some dirt on it, son. It's going to be okay. That didn't work. But if he said, Mom, Dad, I'm thirsty, that worked, because I don't want to be on the news one day, the parent that wouldn't give his son water. All right? So he knows that we would come in after that. So he'd say, Mom, Dad, I'm thirsty, almost every single night. So we'd get him a little drink of water, even though he had a gallon of water right before he went to bed. Give him that little sip of water, lay him back down, do the whole deal. Well, as soon as we get out of the room, sometimes even sooner, he had his second step, his second strategy, and that was yelling to us, "Mom, Dad, I've got to go potty." You see, my son is really smart because he knows if you have water, you usually have to use the restroom soon after. Again, very intelligent. And so we would have to take him to the restroom. And by the way, just a little side thing I was thinking about this week. But if you ever hear an adult like myself, if you ever hear them say potty like for themselves, you know they have young kids. Because like, if you're as an adult or a young adult, we don't say that. We say, "Excuse me, I got to use the restroom." And so if I said to you today at some time that I've got to go potty, I apologize. It's just habit, okay? But anyways, that was our son yelling out to his mom, "Dad, I got to go potty." And I just got to be honest with you, I had some bad thoughts sometimes. And sometimes I was thinking to myself, well, maybe he should just like go in his bed and we'll figure it out tomorrow. But I realized quickly that that was a foolish thought and that was only going to make matters worse on him and us. And so we would take him to the restroom. This was a battle for a while now, trying to get him to go to bed, to sleep in his own room. And I want to ask you a question. It's rhetorical, so you don't need to answer. But I want to ask you a question this morning to kind of get you thinking and tracking with me. Why do you think that my son had such a hard time sleeping in his own bed? The reason why is because he wanted to feel safe. That's why. He wanted to feel safe. His bed was comfortable. He had about 1,000 stuffed animals and still does around him in that bed. He was comfortable. It was great. He had a nightlight. All that was good, but still, he did not feel safe. Let me ask you another rhetorical question. Why did he not feel safe? Well, the answer is this, because he didn't know that mom and dad were still with him because he couldn't see us anymore. And in his little mind, not yet developed yet, he couldn't understand that even though we weren't in the room, we were in the next room, and we could be there in a moment's notice. And here's what I've realized, and I think you'll agree with me, that even though we grow and mature and we become young adults and then adults, and even though some of us have grandkids, still many of us struggle with this same idea. We struggle with this thought, this life that we don't know for sure because we can't see him, that we don't know for sure if our spiritual father is with us. We like to see him. We like to hear him because when we see God, when we hear from God, we know he's there and we know that he cares for us. And so really we have sight problems and we have hearing problems, and many of us do not feel safe in this world. We don't have joy, we don't have fulfillment, and all of that would be fixed if we would just get with God. And honestly, this is why the series that we start today, Signal, and that will continue on through October, I believe this with all my heart. It's a game changer for us. Because if we can hear God's voice, if we can know his will for our lives, we'll live our life devoted to him. But we got to hear from him, and we've got to know who he is. And that's what this series is all going to be about. And so let me just give you like an encouragement and a challenge. You know, some series, let's be honest, you can make it to 1 week or a couple weeks and you get the big idea. But this is one of those series that I'm just challenging you to be here every single week. Because these are the most asked questions that we get as pastors. How do I hear God's voice? And how do I know his will for my life? And if you want answers, and hopefully you do, I'm going to challenge you to be here every single week of this series. Now, if you got a copy of God's Word, this is part one of Signal. I want you to turn to John chapter 10. It's where we're going to stick and stay. And like is kind of our normal flow around here, we're going to read a lot of verses. But John chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 11, and we're going to go all the way through verse 18, and then we're going to skip a little tiny section and pick up in verse 27 and go through verse 30. So John chapter 10, verse 11 through verse 18, and verse 27 through verse
30. Now, just to give you a little bit of help here, if I don't normally tell you during a message what translation I'm preaching from, typically that means I'm preaching out of the NIV. Just letting you know, so today that's where I'm preaching from. If I'm not preaching out of the NIV, I'll tell you, hey, today's New King James Version, or today's the Message paraphrase. It's not a translation, it's a paraphrase. Today is ESV, English Standard Version. If I tell you what it is, it's because you need to know, but if I don't tell you, that probably means we're in the NIV, the New International Version, and we are today. John chapter 10, here's what God's word says to us. If you don't have a Bible and you're listening in the room, we got a giant Bible behind me. Starting in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus talking here. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep. And so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons them and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away, that hired hand, because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for those sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. How many of you know when Jesus says something twice, we probably should listen? I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, that's fascinating, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. And I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. Everyone's included. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. We're going to skip down to verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one, love this, no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Over the next few moments, I want to preach to you a message entitled Frequency. Frequency. Would you jot that down if you're a note taker? I think God's going to speak. Lord, we pray right now. And God, we know that you are speaking. So we pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open to hear from you. I pray literally that we'd be tuned in to hear your voice. God, so often there's so much that gets in the way. But I pray in your house today, with these great people and those listening online because they're out of town, I pray for each of us that we would hear a life-changing word from you. God, it's not hype. I truly believe it. This series will be a game changer for some. And really, God, you want to do an amazing work in us, but we play a part in that. And so, God, I pray that you would help us right now even to tear down any walls, any blockades, any barriers between you and us. You didn't put them up, we did. So help us to tear them down right now and to give you a chance to penetrate even the hardest of hearts and to speak life and to speak truth. God, we want to hear from you. Have your way in this place, in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What we just read out of John's gospel, there's four gospels in the Bible. We just read out of John's gospel account is the fourth of seven I am statements. Seven statements that Jesus says, this who is who I am. And what does he say here? He says, I am the good shepherd. And if you like to dig into the word on your own, which I hope you do, that would be a fascinating study for you to do on your own, to go through those seven I am statements made by Jesus about himself. And who knows, maybe we'll do a whole series on it in the future. That'd be pretty cool. But Jesus, as he normally would do, he talks to people about something that they could easily understand back then, the original audience. He talks about the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. Now, if Jesus was talking like thousands of years later, like here in Houston, a big city, he probably wouldn't talk about sheep because I don't know anything about sheep on my own, and you probably don't as well. So I just think if Jesus was talking 1,000 a year later and he was talking to us here in Houston, he'd probably use a TV show. He'd probably use the oil industry. How many of you know, like, everybody's connected to oil, but my wife and I, like, somehow. And so he would talk about that. He would talk about maybe a song that's on the radio. He would talk about maybe use a sports analogy. That's what Jesus did. He constantly would use things that the masses could understand. And he's doing that here in this instance. And not just Jesus, but if you read the Old and New Testament, so the first beginning parts of the Bible, and then also the parts when Jesus came and after he ascended to heaven, if you read all of that, you'll see countless times that the Bible brings up this idea of a shepherd and his sheep. Now, just so you know, not everyone understood Jesus here. And there's many times throughout the New Testament where people did not understand his lessons. In fact, there was many times where people were offended by Jesus. So if I've offended you, I'm in good company, because Jesus did all the time. Countless times he would say something and people wouldn't cheer. They wouldn't stand up and golf clap at him. Countless times he would say something and people would be so mad that they would stop following him after it. In fact, we didn't read this today, but if you read after verse 18, the section of scripture that we skipped over, you'll see that some people actually call Jesus demon-possessed. Like, think about this. We're talking about Jesus, y'all. Like Jesus. Now, some of you may not love Jesus, but you probably wouldn't call him demon-possessed, okay? Like, you got to have some real guts about you. They call Jesus demon-possessed. Now, I can tell you, I've been called a lot of bad things, but not that yet. But I'm still young, and there's still time, okay? So it could still happen. But they call Jesus demon-possessed. And so what he's saying, people didn't always get. And so here's what I'm trying to say to you today. What Jesus is saying still through this text, you may miss if you're not careful. So I want you to really lean in today, because I think God's got something really good, really powerful for you. So he says a lot here, but I want to highlight three things. So here's the first thing. There's so much gold, but we don't have time to cover it all. So we'll just cover a few things. But number one, the first point, you should write this down if you're listening today. Number one, you belong with God. That's what Jesus tells us here. You belong with God. Get all of those words right, because they're all important. You belong with God. We see this in verses 14 through 15. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. You see, you can go all the way back to the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, which means book of beginnings. And you go all the way back to Genesis, where you've got the first man and the first woman. You've got Adam, and then you've got Eve. And you'll find that they walked and they talked with God. They had an incredible relationship. They were naked and they didn't even know it. I mean, that was their relationship that they had with each other. There was complete intimacy. There was a complete accountability. They knew God and God knew them. But there was a problem. You see, Adam and Eve, they ate of the fruit. They disobeyed, they sinned against God, and now thousands of years later, we've sinned against God. And when we did that, and when they did that, there was a chasm between us and God now. The relationship was great at first, how God designed it, but because of our sin, there was a separation. In fact, that's why Jesus came to this earth. He didn't come to make people feel good about themselves. He didn't come to make you feel happy. He came to heal that broken relationship. That's why he came. So when we celebrate Christmas and we do all this great stuff, and we will, and we got special stuff we'll tell you about in the future. We're gonna celebrate God. We're gonna reach out to this community, and all that's great, but you cannot forget the reason for the season, that Jesus came to fix that relationship. So here's what this means for us, and please lean into this. But here's what this means for you and for me. If you don't feel close to God, God didn't move, you did. Let that soak into your soul today. Because I've heard that from so many people, and that's including people who have been following Christ for years and decades. I don't care how long you've been walking with God, okay? There's people listening today in this room and online later. They feel like, man, My relationship with God is not where it needs to be. And I got to tell you today, if you feel that way, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. You moved, he didn't move. In fact, Jesus has done everything needed to fix that relationship. It's not on God, it's on you. So instead of blaming God or blaming your upbringing or blaming that church that you grew up in, look inward today and realize that God designed your life in such a way that you would belong with God. And so if you don't feel like you're with God, it's not his problem, it's your problem. In fact, and this is a personal opinion, okay? But I believe the reason, and I mentioned this briefly last week if you were here, but I believe the reason that a lot of us don't feel close to God, just personally, I believe it's because our view of God is incorrect. In fact, I'll say it to you this way. You should write this down. Your view of God determines your relationship with God. Your view of God determines your relationship with God. And so think about it like this. If you view God as a dictator, you'll never see him as a friend. It's just the truth. If you view God as hands off, yeah, he maybe created you, but you're on your own while you're here on this earth. If you view God as that kind of person, that kind of God, if you view him that way, you'll never see him as someone who cares about you. Our view of God determines our relationship with God. So let me ask you another rhetorical question. How do you view God? How do you see him? Do you see him as some old white dude with a beard on a throne? Like, is that how you see God? Do you see God as this huge, massive being that's just ready to step on you like the bug that you are? How do you view God? Because if you view God incorrectly, you will never have the right relationship with him. But I got to tell you today, you belong with God. The problem's not with him, it's with us. So let me remind some people that Jesus, what he says about himself, not what someone else says, now, what his best friend would say is just like what he says about himself. He says, I am the good shepherd. And every word is chosen on purpose. He could have said, I am the shepherd. But he said, I am the good shepherd. So what does that mean personally? That means that God wants to take care of you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to show you his love. You were made and created to live your life with God. And so as long as you're away from God, you will never feel fulfilled because you're not living the life you were designed to live. You belong with God, and it starts there. It starts there. If you feel like God isn't close, God didn't move, you did. We've got to get back to a healthy place. Number two, the second point, I hope you'll write these down. Number two, the closer you are, the better you hear. The closer you are, the better you hear. I don't know about you. I feel God moving in some hearts right now. So I just can't say it enough. Lean in to this message. It's a game changer. Will be for some. John chapter 10, the end of verse 16 and also verse 27 says this. This is where I get this from. Jesus said, they too will listen to my voice. He says, my sheep will listen to my voice. I know them. And they follow me. So if we're disciples of Jesus, if we're his sheep, we should know God and know his voice. This is what God's word says. So if we don't know God, if we don't know his voice, there's a problem. If we're his disciples, his sheep, we should know him and know his voice. Now, when I call my wife, just think about it this way. When I call my wife, because we have a great relationship, it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but we have a good relationship. So when I call her, she knows it's me without seeing my picture that comes up. She knows it's me without seeing Ryan Weems. Actually, I think she calls me hot stuff in there. I don't know. That's a joke. But anyways, but she knows it's me without seeing any of that because she knows my voice. Well, how does she know my voice? Because we spend time together. Doesn't matter if I've got a cold, if I'm stuttering at that moment, she picks up instantly on my voice because we know each other. We've got a great relationship. I remember my middle school years. Now, we've got some middle schoolers here in this room, and I know my middle school years were rough for me, if I could just be honest with you. I'm not saying they were rough for you, but for me, really rough. Not only was I going through puberty, which is rough on guys especially, and girls got stuff that they got going on, I understand that, but man, when your voice cracks, when people think you're a woman, I mean, it's tough. And I got picked on and I got bullied in school. I really did in middle school. Thankfully, that ended when I went to high school. But still, middle school was rough for me. And I remember my mom, she was and she still is a neonatal nurse. So she's been at the same hospital for over 35 years. I was born there. Our son was born there. Of course, Nora, our baby girl, was born here. But great, great woman of God, my mom. And so she would coach us. This is when I was in middle school. But she would coach us on like how to like call for her at work. So like the things that we should say, like, may I talk to, you know, Mrs. Janet Weems, that kind of deal, please. All that. Like she would coach us on those things. And so I remember, and this is pre-cell phone. Can you believe it? Pre-cell phone. Nobody had them back then. So I would call from our home phone number to the office phone number at the big hospital that she works at. And I would call and I would say what I was supposed to say. You know, may I speak to Janet Weems, please? And without fail, this is the truth. Without fail, here's what the person, whether it was a guy or girl on the other end, here's what they would say. Yes, ma'am. Hold on. Like every single time. And that hurt as a guy. It really did. Because I'm like, and sometimes I wouldn't even correct them because I was just so embarrassed. I'd say, yes, thank you, you know. And so they would just say that all the time. And it just hurt. And so what was going on? They didn't know me. There was zero relationship. They couldn't see that I was a punk teenager with pimples struggling through puberty. Like, they didn't see that. Like, they just thought they heard a woman on the other end. What am I trying to say? That they had zero relationship with me, therefore they could not know my voice. So I wonder today, how's your relationship with God? Because if it's not very good, you probably can't hear his voice. There's a correlation there. And what it means is that you're not close enough to the Lord. I want you to think about it like this, trying to use some illustrations to help you out here. But as I hold out my hand right now, there's anywhere from 7 or 8 different radio waves bouncing off my hand, something like 7 or 8 of them. Now, of course, you can't see them, but it's scientifically proven that right now there's 7 or 8 radio waves bouncing off my hand. You could stand up and you could shout me down, but it's a fact. It's a fact that's happening right now. They're bouncing off my hand. They're bouncing around this room. Now, I did research this last week, and I found a lot of things I didn't even need to know, but there's also wavelengths. There's also frequencies. There's cycles. There's all this kind of stuff happening that we cannot see with our natural eye. But when you hop into your car moments from now, and when you turn on your radio, whether you're going to listen to talk radio or whether you're going to listen to sports or whether you're going to listen to worship music or rock or rap or pop or that Baby Shark song. Parents of young kids know what I'm talking about. Whatever. If you don't know what that is, do not Google it because it'll just be like lasered on your brain for the rest of your life. But whatever it is that you're listening to, you've got to be tuned in to the right frequency to listen to it. Right now, my hand is not picking up on any of that. I can't even see it. But you get in a car, no matter what year it is, and you just turn that dial. Do you see where I'm going here? And you get to the right frequency, then you can hear the voice on the other end. So how do we do that with God? That's the question, right? Like, how do we get on the right frequency? How do we get rid of all the static that's there? How do we hear God's voice clearly? And so I've got some practical things I want to give you. I got 4 of them, and we're going to get very practical to finish off this point. But I just got to tell you today that spending time with God once a week or once a month on a Sunday morning, it's not enough. It's not enough. You should go to church. It breaks my heart as a pastor. Breaks my heart that the average churchgoer goes to church once or twice a month now. Like, it just breaks my heart. It should not be that way. Like, we should be in church. If you're not here, you should be listening online. Like, we are not to forsake the gathering together. That's the Bible, not me, by the way. But we are supposed to be in church. But I got to tell you, even if you're here every single week, it's not enough. We're here an hour and 15 minutes or so. It's not enough. You need to make this a part of the rhythms of your life. That Monday through Saturday are sometimes even better than Sunday morning, because you're getting one-on-one time with God. So I've got 4 things. And if you're struggling in your relationship with God, write these down. In fact, I think everybody should write these down, but I can't make you, but they'll help you. 1, it's about quality, not quantity. Now, I grew up in church culture that if you didn't spend time with God for an hour, it didn't count. Like, seriously, that's the kind of culture I grew up in. Thankfully, a lot of that has changed. But again, think about my relationship with my wife. Me hanging out with her for 1 hour or 2 hours and us just being in the same space is not doing anything for our relationship. Just because we're in close proximity doesn't mean that there is some communication going back and forth. I would rather have 15 minutes of communication with my wife than 1 hour just sitting right next to her. The 15 minutes are way more advantageous for us than the hour would be just sitting in that environment. So I want to tell you today, it's about quality, not quantity. Some of us, we've got that stigma in our mind that we've got to at least do 30 minutes or at least got to do an hour. It's got to be this whole, it's not about that. If you can meet with God in 30 seconds, it's better than nothing. It really is. And how God works these kinds of things is he'll take that 30 seconds and supernaturally over time, it will grow and grow. Not because you planned it that way, but because you love spending time with God. And 30 seconds will turn into 2 minutes. And 2 minutes will turn into 5 minutes. And you won't even have to program it in because you're so caught up in that relationship with God. It's about quality, not quantity. Number two, have your quiet time at the same time. At the same time. Here's what I mean by that. Some of you have really long commutes. Most people in the city do. Maybe you got 30 minutes plus. Maybe it's an hour for you. What an amazing opportunity you have to meet with the Lord. An amazing opportunity. Instead of getting mad at that person that cuts you off on the highway, why not spend some time with God? Why not take advantage of that time instead of looking at your phone? You know, it's dangerous, and I can fall into that too, and we've all got to be careful there. But have it at the same time. So for you, if it's on your way to work, for you, if it's when you pull into the parking lot, you get there 15 minutes early. That's what my mom has done for years. She'll pull into the hospital parking lot, and she'll get into her word. She'll spend time in prayer before she goes in. For you, if it's your lunch break, 30 minutes to eat. Y'all know we don't need an hour to eat. We don't. So 30 minutes to eat and 30 minutes in the word and prayer. Maybe for some of you, you got young kids like myself, and so you got to do it at night as you get them in bed. Whatever flow works for you, make it the same time every single time. Why? Because when you miss it, you'll notice. When you miss it, you'll notice. Number three, create space for God to speak. When I say I communicate with my wife, and the reason why I keep using this relationship, because it's a close one, and God wants a close one with you. But when I communicate with my wife, it's not 99% me talking and 1% her talking. Like, we both got to go back and forth. I talk to her, she listens, she talks to me, and I listen. That's what communication looks like. If you haven't figured that out by now, you will the hard way. But that's how it works. So you've got to create space to be quiet and to be still before God. And let's be real and honest, that is hard to do. I struggle at this. In fact, I'm going to make you real mad today because we're going to do an experiment. And you're not going to like it, and I'm not going to like it, but it's going to prove a point. So here's what we're going to do. It's going to be awkward. Just embrace it, okay? We're going to take 10 seconds here, and we're going to be quiet. We're going to be quiet. I want to let you feel the tension, okay? So here we go. Ready, set, go. I lost count, but I think that's 10. I don't know about you, but I just hated those last 10 seconds. I did. They're awkward. Now, some of you are like, maybe that was actually kind of nice. You probably got young kids because you're like, but still, it's awkward. Hopefully, it proved a point to you. I know it's hard to be still before God. It's hard to create space for him to speak, but we've got to do it. We got to embrace the awkwardness. And maybe it's only 10 seconds at first, but you've got to create opportunities for God to speak to you. Number four, the last one is this. Silence your phone and turn on worship music. Silence your phone and turn on worship music. The reason why I say silence your phone is because what will happen is the devil is smart, and he sees that we're trying to spend time with God. So what he'll do is he'll try to distract us. You get an update from Twitter or Instagram if you're on social media. You'll have somebody text you. You'll have an emergency happen at work, and you're not even at work yet. You'll have all these things. And so put that phone in the other room. Turn it on vibrate so you can't hear it vibrate. Turn your phone off during that time, and turn on worship music. Now, you can have a quiet time without worship music, but for those of you that are struggling, and it's many Christians nowadays, that are struggling to have time with God, worship music will create that good environment for you. It will create an environment where you can more easily engage with God, where you can more easily hear from God. So silence your phone and turn on worship music. Create an atmosphere where your antenna go up, where you can hear the signal from heaven. We got to get back to a place where God is the loudest voice in our lives. Number three, the last one is this: you belong to God. You belong to God. Write that down exactly. You belong to God. We see this in verses 11 through 13, verses 17 through 18, and also verse 28, but I'm just going to read 11 through 13. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I know what you're thinking today. You're thinking, wasn't that the first point? Isn't that what you said minutes ago? No, no, no. The first point was you belong with God. This point is you belong to God. It's a major, major difference. What does Jesus say here? Jesus says that there's a difference between an owner and an employee. Did you see this today? So set somebody free. We're about to pray, so don't be checking your watch or looking at that. We got time. But Jesus says there's a difference between an owner and an employee. And I'm not trying to hate on employees, okay? It's what Jesus says here. See, an owner cares about every detail. An owner's the guy or girl that you'll see out in front of their business picking weeds. Yeah, they hire somebody to do that, but they're gonna do that themselves if they see one. An owner is that person that's picking up trash on the way to their next task. An owner cares about every detail. I'll tell you this, an owner is personally invested. They're personally invested. But an employee, on the other hand, an employee's different. An employee doesn't have a stake in the game. An employee is working hard for that paycheck. Not saying anything's wrong with that, but that's the truth. Owner cares about everything. They're personally invested in an employee. It's just trying to get a paycheck. So here's what that means. Here's the repercussions. Don't miss this. That when the work gets hard, when enemies attack, the employee leaves, but the owner stays. When money dries up and when the work and the hours are way longer than they ever thought, when conflict arises, the employee leaves and gets a job somewhere else because they just need a paycheck. But the owner stays because they're all in. They're invested. And what does Jesus say here? Jesus tells us that he's our owner. That he's our owner. That he's not some hired hand, because what's the hired hand do? It leaves when the wolves attack. But here's what Jesus says to you today. I just think it's powerful. But Jesus is looking at you in your eyes and he's saying, you belong to me. Yeah, you belong with me. That's good. We need that. But you belong to me. He's saying, I'm the creator and you're the created. He's saying, I am 1,000% invested in this relationship. He's saying that if somebody comes to attack you, this blows my mind. If somebody comes to attack you, they've got to go through me first. That's what he says. That yeah, times are going to get tough. We live in a fallen world. And yes, people will not like you. Yes, people will come against you. Yes, you're going to struggle. Yes, it's going to get hard. But people are going to have to come through me to get to you because I own you. You're mine. You're my prized possession. And I'm not trying to scold you, but if you really understood that, you'd be on your feet right now because it just changes the game. That God didn't send someone else to take care of us. He came himself to take care of us. We are his. So if you can't hear God's voice, and if you don't know his will for your life, you start with getting close to the shepherd because he's the one that will care for you. Hear me, friend. I'm passionate about this because this will change your life. He cares for you. He loves you. He gave it all for you. The problem's not with God. The problem's with us. He's standing at the gate. I could talk about so many things that Jesus does here and even before, but he's standing at the gate and people have to go through him to get to you. Close your eyes with me. God, I pray right now in this moment. I pray for my friends, new friends and old friends. I pray, Lord, for each of them. It's a word for all. I pray, God, that we would understand your truth today, that we belong with you. The closer we are, the better we'll hear you, but also we belong to you. We were made in your image. We are yours. God, let those truths sink in today. If we don't feel close to you, you didn't move, we did. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're here in this place or you're listening online and you would say, you know what, Pastor Ryan, that's me. I just feel like I'm just far from God. But I realize today that the problem's not with him or my upbringing. The problem's with me. I look at my life, Pastor Ryan, and I'm far from God. Maybe people even know me just kind of. Maybe they would even say I'm close. But really when it comes down to it, I am far. Can't hear his voice because my relationship with him is not where it needs to be. And if that's you today, you've got a chance to fix things because Jesus has already fixed things. He's waiting for you to take a mini micro step because he's already taken the biggest step. But he won't make you get your relationship right. You've got a choice today. In that Starbucks, on that treadmill here in this room, you've got a choice today. Are you going to give your life to Jesus for the first time or the first time in a long time? Eyes closed, heads bowed. If there's anyone here that there's a broken relationship, you're far from God, but you want to get things right, can you lift up your hand? I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you, God. I see it. God, you're so good. You're so good. Anyone else? Join these others. God, you're so good. Here's what I'm going to do. Those that raised their hand a moment ago and the Christ followers as support, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. And it's a prayer of commitment to Jesus. It's a prayer that acknowledges the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. It's a prayer that says, hey, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So I put my life in your hands, Lord. It's a prayer that invites God to come in and clean up the sin in your life. If you'll say this prayer and you'll mean it with all your heart, God will restore that relationship to exactly where it needs to be. So those that raised their hand a moment ago and everyone else in support, say this out loud and mean it with your heart. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you for coming to this earth, living a sinless life and dying on the cross. Jesus, I believe that not only did you die on the cross, you rose from the dead. And so I ask you now to forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. I'm not good enough. But you are. So Jesus, I put my faith, I put my trust in you and you alone. Help me to hear your voice and to know your will and to live my life for you. Jesus, you are my shepherd and I am your sheep. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you put your hands together for what God just did in this place? Come on, you can do better than that. Lord, we love you so much. You're so good. Stand to your feet with me if you're able to, all across the house. For those that raised their hand a moment ago, I want to tell you about our Start Bible kits that we have for free in the back. There's a letter from myself to you in there. There's also a connection card. Please pick one of these up. If you're here today and you know somebody needs this, pick this up on their behalf. They're free. We've given away so many already in these last 10 and a half months, but please pick one of those up. This is where you start, or for some of you, this is where you start again in your relationship with the Lord. I want to invite you out again next week for part two of this series. Again, if you want to hear God's voice and know His will, you need to be here, bring somebody with you. And not just that, but we've got water baptisms after service next week. It's going to be a powerful, life-changing week. If you got pom-poms, bring them next week, okay? I want you to be rowdy, loud, and proud. We're going to celebrate changed lives. We're going to celebrate together what God has done. I myself and a few of us will be down here at the front if you need prayer for anything. Besides that, you are dismissed, and go Cowboys and go Texans. Bless you guys. Have a great day.